Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. It's great to have you all back once again, and it's actually great to be back once again. We've been gone away and traveling for the last 3 weeks, and we've missed having the shows for the last 3 weeks. So we're coming back. Don't abandon us. We've just been away, but thank God we're back. So I want to say that I've been on vacation. It's been a very nice vacation, and I'm very glad to be back. We were trying to get the show going, in fact, while I was away over in Mexico. We were also over in San Diego, Alabama, North Carolina, Atlanta. So there was a lot of things going on at the time. So now we're back, and we're going to be bringing the show live tonight as we are. I'm going to encourage you to go in and listen to some of our archive shows, and I encourage you to check them out. Tonight we're going to be a little bit more informal, and I'm going to probably spend a great deal of time just talking with a number of you all. And I'm hoping and trusting that you will definitely tune in. And if you have, of course, any comments or questions, by all means, please feel free to join in. Tonight's topic is, could someone be actually addicted to love? Could someone be addicted to love? And I'd like to know what you all think. So at some point, you can press 1 if you'd like to speak to that particular issue. We would love to have you on and hear what your thoughts are. Could someone actually be addicted to love? Well, let's find out. In my experience, I found that a number of people have different definitions when it comes to love. And for whatever reason, you'd be surprised if you ask someone, how would you define love? How would you, in fact, define love? You would be amazed at some of the responses that you get if you were simply to ask someone, how would they define love? Well, the opinions and the views, definitely, I can tell you with certainty that the opinions and the views definitely vary. And so it becomes very interesting to know that if you think that love is just basically a feeling, if you think that love is an emotion, if you think that love is just a way of expressing oneself, if you think that love is just involves intimacy, whatever your thoughts are on love, it's going to be quite interesting when you start to ask other people what their opinions are about this one thing that gets people so attached that sometimes it's hard to it's actually hard for some people to function in life when that detachment comes along. So tonight I'm probably going to do it a little informally, and I'm going to speak to a great deal of the issue when it comes to a love addiction. Now, you've got various authors that have written books out there, and again, based on my own experience and training, I would say when it comes to really love, just about anything else, you have got to really, you have really got to figure out things for yourself, because what someone else or how someone else may identify love for them may in fact be a completely different way that you yourself may identify love. And so I think that it's very interesting that that's why it's so important, I find, that you really, really figure out love for yourself and what that means to you. It's just like I was listening to one of the television programs today, I believe it was The View, and Whoopi Goldberg was saying that she didn't go to college, but yet she turns out to be very successful. And as she mentioned, college may not be for everyone. And obviously she said it wasn't for her based on the way that her brain operates. Now, whatever that means, but I commend her for recognizing that, I commend her for recognizing that, hey, college is not for me. And she didn't waste time going forward with that. And she went on to say, and I admire that people have got to find out what works for them. And I think that same strategy, or that same, not so much strategy, but that same way of thinking can be applied to anything that one might basically do in life. And it comes down to, basically what works best for you. And it's the same thing, by all means, when it comes to love, would work best for you. Not necessarily somebody else, but what works best for you, even when it comes down to love and loving someone. So having said that, we're going to shortly present a story, and then we're going to, we will certainly take some of the comments that may have that come in associated with this. And we're actually following up to do a part two on this. You know, could someone actually be addicted to love? Well, the short answer to that, of course, depends on how one might define love. But the short answer to could someone be addicted to love, I would say yes. I think a person could have an addiction to love. And with that addiction, I think that it's a matter of when one may have identified love as that emotional attachment, that hunger or that desire to be with someone that you really want to be with for whatever reasons you want to be with that person. It could certainly have an emotional attachment with it. It can have a, be associated with a need base. Like, this is a person that you really, really want to be with. And, you know, that's something that people oftentimes, I think they get it confused that, you know, they need to perhaps, be with that person, and they're consumed by their feeling. You know, and here again, this is particularly when one feels that love is based on their feeling. Oh, I can't do without you. I can't live without you. It's like an emotional feeling that the person is caught up into. And with that emotional feeling, it can bring some damage. So the short answer to this question, could someone be really addicted to love? Yes, they can. They can certainly be addicted to love. And love has its pluses, and love also has, you know, some minuses. And, you know, that's the thing. It depends, okay? We're going to go to the story shortly, and then we're going to come back and take some of the comments, and then we'll address those things. And as the story is presented, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at that story. And what I'll be able to do is dissect the story as we go along. So tonight I may just spend some time doing that. My characters in tonight's story are Vicki Wallace and Xavier. Vicki Wallace and Xavier. And again, this is a reiteration of a show that we did earlier this year. And this is, it's basically the same story, and we're going to present it over the air tonight. So Vicki Wallace and Xavier, the three characters. Vicki's a single mom. She has two teenage children. Vicki was recently divorced for the second time. Not just first time, but the second time. And some people might say, well, if you've done it once, why would you need to do it again? And you know, that's a very good question that only an individual themselves could possibly answer. But I think that we will do a future show on that. Should you marry a second or a third time? You know, some people say, well, just keep marrying until you get it right. All right, so Vicki here in this case, she's been married now the second time. She's been divorced now, not only married, but divorced now for the second time. That becomes very interesting. And the second time was only after 4 years of marriage to Wallace. Wallace is her second husband, a man she met on her job, who's not the father of her children. Wallace and Vicki dated for nearly a year before moving in together and finally getting married. So here you've got Vicki with Wallace, her second husband. She met him on the job. They dated for nearly a year. And just before they got married, they moved in together. So here, Vicki had a very good chance when she moved in with the guy. She had a very good chance, very good opportunity to see what that relationship was like before she said, I do. And in doing so, she probably saw the good, the bad, you know, probably most of it, because I don't think when a person lives with someone, it's very difficult to hide the bad. I mean, fully hide the bad for an extended period of time. They dated each other for a year. Then they moved in together prior to getting married. So the story doesn't tell us basically how long they lived together before getting married. But even in the dating stages, which is where sometimes people miss out, they actually ignore those warning signs because they're so engulfed with that feeling of being in love. You know, that feeling, and that's the danger. That could be the danger. Now, I'm not saying here that being in love, you shouldn't have any feelings. Because if you are actually with someone that does not show some emotion, then I would tend to think that you have a very cold-hearted person. And that person is not going to be not likely be empathetic to your needs, or sympathetic to things that may be going on with you. They will basically be a generalized individual. And what I mean by that is they're basically a robot. That's what that person could be to you, an absolute robot. And by robot, I mean that person when you need them emotionally, they're not there. They're so detached. Now, the question becomes, what may have caused that detachment? And oftentimes it's something that may have transpired in their early childhood. There are victims who encounter abuse by family members or strangers, but there's something that transpired in those early childhood years that causes that person to be that way. And do the research. You can do the research on this. You can certainly do it, and you will find out if the authors of that research are being correct with you, or even people that you've known, if they're going to be honest with you, they'll tell you something happened. But they may also be hiding it because they don't want you to know. But there's something that has happened in that person's life. At some point, usually or oftentimes in their early childhood, that has caused a traumatic or dramatic experience that has led a person up to the situation of where they are now. However, there's always extenuating circumstances in everything. And in some extenuating circumstances, it could be that you could have been someone that caused that person to be turned off from you. That happens too. But if you're in a situation, a relationship where you feel within your heart and you know with certainty that you didn't do anything to turn this person off from you, then, and you've seen these sporadic behaviors, you know, on a regular and consistent basis. I shouldn't say sporadic, but they're more often than not, then something has happened with that person. And chances are, when you're not the cause of it, there's a good likelihood it's going to bring some damage to your relationship. And it can last forever. It can last forever. And the question becomes, you know, do you deserve that? Do you deserve that? If you didn't cause that, certainly we can be empathetic to a person who's maybe gone through something, but they need some therapy. They need some serious therapy because it's not fair to you, the person who's with them, because you become a victim. You become a victim of their lack of caring, lack of support, lack of affection, and all these other things. You become the victim. And they will, let me tell you something, people who are in denial of things, they will constantly, I guarantee you, they will constantly turn it around on you, making you feel like it's something that you've done wrong. And let me tell you something, that's not necessarily the case. It's not. It's something going on with them that they have not dealt with. Oftentimes, unfortunately, people don't know how to deal with it because they're in denial and they don't think there's anything wrong. If your relationship, like in Vicky's case here, you know, she was with Wallace for a year before they dated a year, then they moved in together, and then they went on to get married. So, but somewhere along the way, the story tells us that she was recently divorced. She was recently divorced now for a second time. So let's go on with the story to find out what, if anything, is going on that has brought Vicky to this particular point in her to get this divorce for the second time. Now, approximately 5 weeks after her final decree of marriage to Wallace, 5 weeks after the decree of divorce, Vicky met Xavier. She met Xavier at a bar and immediately started a relationship with him. So here we're looking at 5 weeks after she divorced the second time. Now, you know, that brings such suspicion on, it almost appears that Vicky's not all there. And, yeah, somebody can be super nice. Everybody's nice in the beginning stages. I guarantee you everybody's nice in those initial stages. They're just nice people. And so what happens is, somewhere along the way, the true self comes out, that true self. But you know what? People are basically nice because they want something. Everybody's after something, especially when it comes to relationships. That's the exchange. Maybe we don't have anything else. Everybody's after something. The man's after the woman. The woman desires the man. She desires to be with him. So he's nice to her. The women are nice to the man to get the man. And in some cases, you know, after the marriage to him, then people start to change, the man or the woman. They just start to change. But they're not making a change within themselves because they're coming across of who they were all along, of who they were all along. And you know what? We're deviating, we're dissecting the story back and forth. But if a person is basically, you know, temperamental, if they're moody, let me tell you something. You're dealing with a very dangerous individual. And by dangerous, I don't necessarily mean that they're violent, you know, necessarily. But that individual, dangerous meaning they got this attitude. They got these mood swings. And let me tell you something. That is the one thing that can destroy, and it likely will destroy any relationship. Excuse me. The mood swings. Who in the world wants to deal with someone who's always seems to have a mood? And guess what? We're going to be doing a future show, and the question becomes, can a negative mood swing impact your relationship? And yes, that question is yes. If you're around somebody, if you're a happy-go-lucky person, I've seen this. I've seen this in my experience. If you're a happy-go-lucky person and you meet somebody that's humdrum, boring, just don't have it going on in terms of any excitement. Again, we go back to the story. Cold-hearted, basically. Let me tell you something. That can ultimately affect somebody who's happy-go-lucky. I can guarantee you the more you stay around that, and then sickness can even follow with that. Sickness. Because it can, when, you know, the Bible tells us that laughter is good for the bones. And let me tell you something. You can be seriously affected, I believe, when you get caught up into that humdrumness, especially if you are a happy-go-lucky person. Now you're taking on their personality instead of them taking on your personality. If you're an outgoing person, they're an introvert, and you're an extrovert, then the personality, there's a conflict there. That extrovert is always wondering, what have I done wrong this time? Who wants to live with that for 100 years? Trying to figure out, what have you done wrong? And all it's doing is affecting your spirit. It affects your spirit. It affects your spirit where you're constantly questioning your own self. Are we going to pause in this story tonight, and we're going to go through the phone lines. We're going to go to Alabama, 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're on the air live.
Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
This is me. All right, this is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack. Jack, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could someone be addicted to love? And I'm sure you want to respond to something that I said.
Yeah, they could be addicted to love. They could be very much caught up into the humdrum of just being in love. The fact most people, I mean, we're innate creatures, and we're born to be receptive to love. God created us in his image, and God is love. So we're supposed to be love. We're supposed to be lovable. And like you said, you don't want anybody that's constantly rejecting you. You don't want someone that's turning you down. People don't like that type of thing because I feel the way that you do. I feel that something is wrong with that person if they're constantly rejecting or constantly turning someone away. And the story that you mentioned about they were together for a little while, and then I guess after, was it 1 year or was it 4 years, they got married? And they didn't stay married long?
Right.
And they didn't stay married long. And so now they're going from pillar to post because maybe they were looking for the wrong things. Maybe they weren't looking for. See, I've said this many times on your show, a marriage is 100-100. It's not 50-50 because you're only going to give half. But if both parties give 100%, that means you're giving all of yourself. And in order for it to work and for it to be effective, you have to give 100% of yourself. So I think a lot of that's happening in the world today where people are not giving their all. They're only giving a portion. They say, well, I've been hurt before, so I'm only going to give you 20% of my love. And I'm going to say that other 80, keep it all to myself because you may hurt me down the line, and then I would not have given you everything. So I think that's a problem. I think that's a problem with the world. I like some of the things that you touched on, a number of things that you touched on about behavior and people not giving it their all and people not loving the way that they should, and they know they're supposed to give more than that, but they're not. And it, to me, it's a selfish thing. It's a selfish thing when you're not giving it your all. Because why did you get married? I mean, a marriage is not about one person. It's about both parties seeking to get each other to the kingdom and working together for a common goal. That's what marriage is supposed to be about. I think we've lost the mark. I think we're missing the mark on what a marriage is all about. Back in the day, you know, listening earlier where they were saying that when the pastor was marrying the couple, he said, do you promise, talking to the wife now, do you promise to love, honor, and obey? And then he cut out the obey, and so the gentleman came back and said, well, what happened to the obey? He said, oh, we don't say that anymore. It's just love and honor now, so there's no love, honor, and obey. But now you're to be submissive. Both parties are to be submissive one to another. But I think your program is really, really good. I think you're touching on a lot of things, and I'm hoping that a lot of people are listening, especially those that who love but they're not lovable, so they can learn how to love and be lovable at the same time.
And you know, Jack, I think that you're so right, and thank you. You're reiterating some of the things that I've mentioned, and you've even touched on some things that I think people need to know. And it's interesting that you mentioned the pastor, you know, with the vows, the way that they used to be. And yes, I recognize that those things have changed. And even so, mm-hmm. I like the submissive part where both parties are submitting one to the other. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten so, we can always find someone to blame or something to blame, and we might say the system. But it still comes down to the individuals. What we're allowing the system to dictate to your marriage, when you knew what God set up, and people, to me, they go to church on a regular and routine basis, and sometimes two and three times a week, and then in some cases they're having worship sessions on a daily basis or often, but their behaviors, their attitudes are not changing. And with that even, I don't think people even know how to be married to each other, because there's no real classes on how to actually, what marriage really is, you know, going from that eros to the agape love. People don't really, there's not a great deal of emphasis that's placed on that, on the commitment of marriage and what that means, but it's more focused on the reality of it is, you know, it's that feeling. People go in there with that feeling. I don't think that people always feel in love with the person, because they start to get used to each other, and then, unfortunately, they start to take each other for granted. It's almost like as long as the dating went on, it was mm-hmm. exciting. It was exciting because there was, you know, you're putting on a facade in a lot of cases. You know, women, you know, they're coming across as that nice person from heaven, you know, because mm-hmm. they want to get married to that man. So they're putting out their best, and a lot of times mothers tell them how to do it. And, you know, and then when they get married, they completely become a different beast to that man. And I'm not just picking on women. Men sometimes do the same thing. Everybody wants something. That man wants sex in a lot of cases, and he wants it on a regular basis, consistent basis. And when you're dating, she'll give it to you even without even being married. She'll give it to you. Then when you get married, it seems... Like I heard a man once say, he said, you want to have sex all the time? He said, never get married, because they give it to you with hoping that you'll marry them one day. But as long as you mm-hmm. don't marry them, he said, married men have less sex than the men who are married. And I think that that's true, Jack. I think it's true. You
I
know,
hope it's not.
We hope it's not, but I think if you survey men who are probably over the age of 35, 40,
mm-hmm.
is a max more than 5 years, you'll be surprised at that survey. If you just took a survey,
oh, yeah.
10
yeah.
over 35, 40, who've been married mm-hmm. for 5 years to the same person, and you ask mm-hmm. them, you know, it could be anonymous. And I think you'll be surprised. But then those men who
were
mm-hmm. Yeah, those men who were dating the woman, oh,
mm-hmm.
she was giving it to him all the time. Anytime he wanted to.
Anytime you wanted. Because she's trying to win you over.
She's trying to win him over.
But I think Hollywood has a lot to do with that. I think the values that are depicted in the social media and Hollywood and how people are running the pillar of the post, and they think that's something good. And this one want to try this one. This one want to try that one. So they're not stable. They're not together. They don't understand when you're training together as one flesh, as the Bible puts it on. They don't understand that part. They think they can. I was reading in the media. I think it was either today or yesterday. Where this guy married this young lady, the attractive young lady, and then he said that I want everybody to know that this is an open marriage. Now I don't know exactly what he meant, but I could imagine that he's able to roam free and sow his own oats and do whatever he wants to do, and I guess she's able to do that as well. But it's going to come some point in time where one of them going to get tired of that, and then they're not going to like that, and then that's where the fight comes in at, or divorce comes in at. But I think the social media, this thing is really, really bad that they got out of there now. The social media is causing all kind of marriage problems, all kind of relationship problems and all. And Hollywood is not helping at all because of the different shows that they have and what they're depicting. And nothing is more, no more values. Live as you please, do whatever you want, and still you're okay. I mean, they don't teach anything about, you know, the fear of diseases, or the fear of God, and all those things of that nature. But they just live as you please, do your own thing. Every man for himself. Well, there was a song back in the day. What was it? It's my thing. I'm gonna do what I want to do. Yeah, that's what it was. It's my thing. I'm gonna do what I want to do. So that's back then. They made that way back then, but now more so than what it was back then. And this is how the millenniums and the baby boomers and what's the group after the baby boomers?
What do you call them?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, the 80s, the 80s on.
But Jack, you're so right, Jack, and I agree. Social media is just destroying everything. It's just destroying, but it still comes down to the individuals. People don't have that personal relationship anymore. It's almost like you don't need to put feelings in a relationship. You just put your feelings through that social media, that internet, that
mm-hmm.
computer, that phone. And there's no emotions
mm-hmm.
there. Watch when you go out to dinner. How many people are actually sitting there, sitting close to each other and talking to each other? Or watch how many are sitting across from each other and they're both on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be either husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. So who could they be communicating with? And they're sitting there with you.
See, that's where one of the parties got to take the lead. One of the parties at that point got to take the lead role. Now, we got to say before we go out, nobody's going to be on their cell phones. We're going to have a decent conversation. We're going to eat. We're going to enjoy ourselves, okay? We're not going to be talking on the cell phone or playing with the cell phone. Someone has to take the lead role. Someone has to do that. Because you're right.
But you
see a lot of that going on out there in the world. Mm-hmm.
But even when you take the lead role, it sounds like you're dictating. If a man says that to a woman, oh, he don't tell me what to do. If a woman says that to a man, she wants that respect as well. And he's thinking,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to tell me what to do. I should be able to use my phone whenever I want to. Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If you're dating someone, and this is just me now, my humble opinion, if you're
mm-hmm.
dating someone and that phone is more important than you are sitting there,
mm-hmm.
Jack, if it was me,
mm-hmm.
and this has happened before, I've taken a lady out before, years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that lady was on the phone with her ex-husband. And you know what I did? I went to the bathroom to give her courtesy, give her a few minutes, and I came back. I came back about 5 minutes later, and she's still on the phone with her ex-husband. And I say, you know
mm-hmm.
what? I pulled out my money, and say, look, mm-hmm. you can get home. I'll pay for the dinner because I invited you, but you can get home. You can take the cab home. She got off the phone immediately then, but I never took that lady out again. Never. I would never take her out again, and I didn't. And I'm
you
telling you,
it was.
First, she knew what the deal was, and she apologized. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. You showed me disrespect, and you know what? I'll show you that I have no interest in you whatsoever because you're only pretending that. I don't know if you were doing it to make me jealous. I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous like that. I don't even know you, but you show yourself to me a side that I knew that I wouldn't deal with. Now, that's just me, Jack. I can't speak for anybody, but I would tell people, if you're getting out there and that person is so in love with their phone and they can't give you the quality time, Jack, even if you're married, I'm sorry. I know I'm a little different. I know I'm a different animal, but I base a lot of my stuff on the Bible principles, and I know people are going to differ with me. If when that spouse cannot come first, husband or wife, either way, when they are not first, and you bring something, you know, let no man come in between you. Let no woman, that means, or anything that comes between what God has joined together. When God has joined that together, and something, even if it's social media, then that is not a marriage of God. It's just not. And then you
know
what? I say go on your merry way because, Jack, one thing that I've learned, there are people out there that think the same way that you think. And they say, you know what, it's not about the social media. Let me get rid of this stuff because it's hurt. Look at the young people. The young people today, they don't even know what it's like. And that's why, look at the crisis we're in. When they don't even know anything about loving. And then you look at the whole generation is just waxed cold.
It's waxed cold. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I just believe that it's time now for not only men to step up, but ladies to step up too and let them know exactly what you want. This is what I expect. And you put it on paper and both parties agree to it. If you can't abide by that, then both parties go their separate ways. If you're not going to act right, then you might as well just go ahead and get a divorce because it's not going to work out anyway, and it's not working. It's not working. So I think once people understand, you know, where they stand, they'll do what they have to do.
You know, but Jack, in my opinion, the problem becomes people will not be honest. They're not.
No, they're not.
And Jack, forgive me. I know I got I'm probably radical. But a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and I fit into that category of trying to be a Christian, those are the people that you got to be more weary of.
That's without a doubt.
You got to be more weary of the ones who call themselves Christians. I was reading John 6 today in the Bible. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, I picked the 12 of you all. I picked you all. And one of you all is a devil. One of you is a devil. And the very one that said that he, you know the story. The very one that felt that he would be close to him, you know, betrayed him. And then another one denied him, you know, and said that he would be closer than him than all of them. The so-called Christians are the ones you got to be weary of because they will read their Bibles every day or oftentimes.
Read their Bibles every day and then going contrary to what they're reading.
They are not so. Tell me this. Where are their prayers going? Absolutely nowhere. And that goes for me. If my attitude is not changed, if you're reading that Bible every day, if you're reading it, wouldn't you think that by now, after 10, 15, 20 years, that your character displays more of a Christ-like character?
It should, right? to me, it should. I mean,
it's supposed to demonstrate in your marriage. That's the person who you are bonded to. You become, you said it earlier, Jack, you become one flesh. One
That's
flesh.
Right.
How can a body go against itself unless it's going to be divided.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. It can't. Mm-hmm.
So you're dividing your own home. So people may have material possessions
mm-hmm.
for a front to say it looks good, and oftentimes with women, they want the nice place. They want all the nice. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them because I want the nice stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's just a facade. Because if they don't love the man, if they're not in love with the man, you know what? The minute things happen, the next one comes along and whispers to them, they're gone. And they'll leave everything
mm-hmm.
in that house. You know, not
right.
to say the man can come off. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they will leave. A woman will leave you broke. And sick. She sure will.
I got a friend of mine that happened to him. Came home one day and she had moved everything out of the house. Mm-hmm.
See?
Everything
See?
Was gone. Yeah.
And men can be just as cold hearted as well. They can
too.
Be just as cold. They can walk away
mm-hmm.
from a woman, walk away from their
mm-hmm.
own children.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I can never understand that, Jack. We live in a time now that is dangerous. We do.
That's right.
We live in a time now
mm-hmm.
that is dangerous,
mm-hmm.
and people don't even care. They're robotic. They're robotic.
Mm-hmm.
They're robotic. The same
That's
thing
right.
that they say to you, they're saying
mm-hmm.
to everybody else. The same thing that they're saying to you. For example, Jack, let me give you a scenario,
mm-hmm.
a case in point.
Mm-hmm.
If the woman, let's say if you're not feeling bad, I mean, you're not feeling very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a co-worker. They say
mm-hmm.
to you on the job, oh, Mr. Jack, I'm so sorry that you're feeling that way. I hope you feel better. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
nice. That's nice. That's a robot. That's what psychology teaches you to say. Oh, I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
that you're going through that. Every therapist, when you sit down
mm-hmm.
before a therapist, those therapists
mm-hmm.
are trained to say, to be empathetic to you. Oh, I'm sorry
right.
that you had to go through that. That's a robotic
right.
line. Okay,
right.
now, do you, Jack, let's say if you were married, do you, you're not feeling well, you're sick. Do you
mm-hmm.
want your wife to say to you, oh, well, honey, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I hope you feel better. Do you want her to use those same robotic line?
No, definitely not. Mm-mm.
Right. But if she did, you want her to do something for you, right?
Definitely, because action speaks louder than words. We know that for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what she's saying to you is the same lines that she says
mm-hmm.
to everybody else. Oh, I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
that you had to go through that. That's a robot. You're
that's
saying that that's a staged phrase. That
right.
is used with everybody. And
mm-hmm.
it comes from psychology. You know, they tell
mm-hmm.
you, oh, be empathetic to people. Oh, I'm really sorry
mm-hmm.
that you're having to go through that. But if that
mm-hmm.
loved one is supposed to be, we have to be separately,
mm-hmm.
We have to be attached to the ones who we call ourselves in love with, the ones
mm-hmm.
who we love. You know, you can't be robots to them. Oh, I'm
no,
sorry
you
that
can't.
You're going through that. But, sweetie, I'm getting ready
yeah.
to make you some honey and tea. I'm
mm-hmm,
getting ready
mm-hmm.
to, let's think about taking
mm-hmm.
you to the doctor. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're going over and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, help me, Jack. Maybe I'm just far-fetched out here.
No. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you don't want someone who's piggybacking off of a cliche, you know, in a marriage. Marriage is about doing, and it's about action. Okay, it's about showing. Okay, don't tell me you love me. Show me that you love me with your actions and all. I mean,
mm-hmm.
little niceties. The Bible talks about that. It's talking about render due benevolence one to another. So show me your kindness. I mean, put it forth in action. Buy the little niceties. Buy the little trinkets and the little candies and the cookies and the flowers and all that. You give that to people while they're alive because they can't smell those roses when they're dead. And he can't take them on those suits that you buy that you should have bought him when he was alive, or those shirts or those socks, whatever it is. Do the little niceties, you know, while you're together, because they say you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. So once the well runs dry and you're not getting that, you'll say, well, what happened? or some other lady or some other man come on the scene, and then you, all of a sudden you're not getting that, then you're going to be upset. Say, well, this is what I had. Now he's giving it to that other person and not, or she's giving it to that other person and all. So that causes problems. And a lot of times that's what happens. You find somebody on the job that you're attracted to, or you find somebody in the workplace or the school or wherever you are that you get attracted to because you're not getting the little niceties and you're not doing for each other like you used to do. Like you said earlier, the romance is supposed to continue in the marriage. I mean, in order to get him, you did everything. Whatever he wanted you to do, you did that, okay? But once he got you, then you say, okay, I got to slack up now. Your mother was going to tell you exactly like you said. The mother is going to tell the daughter how to get a man. Okay, so mm-hmm. She went out and she went all out to get the man and all. Well, after she got him, now she becomes complacent. Okay, now mm-hmm. I got him now, so I don't have to go all out. But now I beg to differ. Let the courtship continue in the marriage. Okay, go places, do things together. Okay, show love, show empathy towards each other. Speak kind words, soft words, tender words. Okay, don't always be judgmental. Don't always attack. Okay, now let the person know if they've done something wrong. Okay, let them know how you feel. How did that make you feel, okay, when I said this? You know, stuff like that. And then let them respond, okay, and take what they're saying at face value and try to do something about it to turn that situation around. But and I think we don't do enough of that. We don't say exactly how we feel until the rubber meets the road or until something bad really happens. Then we'll come out and we'll say it. But if someone gets you upset, go to that person with, you made me feel this way when you said that or when you did that. I felt this way and all. So we have to talk about it. We have to bring it out. Just iron out your differences and all. Don't let the sun, we talk about that a lot on your show. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be angry, okay, all the time. Don't act like you're mad with the world. You said that about Christians. They walk around like they're like they're mad with the world with that look on their faces and all. But yet still they're calling themselves Christians and they're reading their Bibles every day. You know, and they're feeling like they have a close connection with the Lord. They pray and all of that. But God doesn't work like that. God is a loving mm-hmm. God. You talked mm-hmm. about the godly love, the Arius love, and all those different love portions that people have and all the five reasons for loving each other and all that. But we have to show all of that. Don't just tell it to me. Don't talk it. Live it. Act it out and show it to me.
And Jack, I agree with you. I mean, 100%. I mean, it's like, you know, but we've lost. I mean, it's like this is a dying world. We're just losing out. Relationships are just going down to the dogs. I mean, and you see why marriages are ending in divorce more than 55% now. And second marriages are greater than 35% now. And forget about third marriages. You know, they don't even stand a chance. And every situation is bringing a lot of baggage with it on both parts. The man is bringing a whole lot of baggage, and that woman is bringing a whole lot of baggage as well. You know, and you begin to wonder, is there any hope? Is there any hope? You know, any hope? You know, I was at a place today, and the young lady was saying she worked at this place. And she said that her birthday is tomorrow. She was telling her coworkers, and they were wishing her a happy birthday in advance. And she said she was, they asked her, I heard them saying, were you going to be celebrating with your boyfriend or anything? She said, I just went through a hard breakup, and a guy broke my heart 3 years ago, and I just got closure like a month ago. This is what she's saying. And mm-hmm. she said, people, here again, what I reiterate on this show, people are not being honest. She was with the guy for 3 years. I don't know the particulars because she was talking to mm-hmm. a coworker, and I was just listening. And she said mm-hmm. that people basically, you know, they just don't be honest. And in 3 years, she said, it hurt her so bad, and she wanted to get married, but it hurt mm-hmm. her so bad that whatever happened, she didn't go into detail, that she says it was just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it took her all the time to finally bring closure to it. You know, she said she just mm-hmm. got closure a month ago. That's interesting. After a 3 year breakup. So she probably, chances are, I'm speculating, but she probably was trying to go back and forth. They were maybe trying to work it out. And then, you know, she's just been, you know, probably trying to work it out back and forth. until, you know, she probably went back and forth and back and forth until the true colors of him came out, and possibly the true colors of her came out. But, you know, she said that he...
Well, maybe they just weren't meant to be. Maybe they just weren't meant to be for each other, right? And they realized that after a while. So we might as well just go our separate ways. So it took her 3 years maybe to go through that, to realize that, no, this is not going to work. Even though we're trying it, I'm sure they were there for them, each other intimately, but that may have been all it was, just the intimacy and all.
But now, she says, when they were asking her, you know, her coworkers did the robotic thing. Oh, I'm sorry that you went through that. And I mean, that's such a robotic comment. Well, no, it's applicable on your job and people are strangers. Mm-hmm. But when it's your significant other, I think it requires, and I could be wrong, but I think it requires more than that. It requires your emotional attachment to that person that you're in love with. Because if I'm treating my wife the exact same way I treat every woman out there, then, Jack, tell me, what makes my wife special?
She's not special, then, if you're treating her like you're treating everybody else. She has to be treated like a queen, different than all the other ladies that you're dealing with. Right, and so do you. You need to be treated like a king.
Right.
Because if she's not treating you any different than she's treating all those other men, then you're not special to her.
And my message is the same thing. If you're not treating your wife as that queen, and if your wife is not treating you as that king, and everybody pretty much the same way, you know, or he treats everybody the same way, there ain't, excuse my bad language, there ain't nothing special about you. Nothing.
That's true.
There's nothing special about you.
Well,
there's
nothing special about you to her.
That's what I mean. But what happens is, and here's what I've seen in relationships. When you decide to move on, and for some people, a man or a woman, I've seen it both ways. When they decide to move on, you know what? They're taking some of that baggage and they're curtailing it to fit the next person. Oh, like I've heard people say, "Oh, I know what to do with for the next one." When one woman got dumped, I know what to do with the next one. So, in other words, she wasn't doing what she needed to do with this one, but she learned from that one what to do with the next one. Who wants to be somebody's experiment? Do you want
someone
to be
someone that's what?
Experiment.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't want anybody experimenting on me. Right. I don't want that. I don't even want a novice to deal with me, you know, and talking about they're going to experiment on me. No. That means you're a novice. You're not a veteran at this. You're a beginner. But no, I don't need that. That's for the young generation and the young people, you know, just coming about and all. But no, I don't need you experimenting on me. It's not going to work. I'm too set in my ways. I'm old fashioned and all. Now I know how to love and I know how to give love because I believe that we're supposed to give in return and we're supposed to get it in return. We give it and then we should get it as well. Both parties, that 100% again. Both parties giving it 100%, giving their love, giving of themselves, giving the whole nine yards. But when we stop short of that, it's just not going to work. And to me, it just doesn't make sense. So why be married if you don't plan to give all of yourself? It's just like you just going through the motions, like that couple you were talking about. Seemed like they just tolerated each other, and they were basically just going through the motions. A lot of marriages are like that today. They're just, you know, he sleeps in his room, she sleeps in her room, and all of that. And but yet still, we consider ourselves married. So when we go out in public, we put on a facade. Nah, that's not working because you're living a lie. You're living a lie.
What?
That's not what marriage is about. What do you say?
No, I agree with you, Jack. I was just agreeing.
Yeah, that's how, that happens a lot. That's happening a lot in the world today. And I heard what you said. You said marriage is now, the first marriage is now ending up in 55% divorce. You know, that's well over 50%. It used to be one out of three, which was 33%. Then it went to almost two out of three. So we're at 55% now. And pretty soon, who knows? It could be wind up being two out of three pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't stay married long. And I told you again that the social media in Hollywood is depicting all that. It's nothing wrong. You can do everything is relative. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself that. You got it together. But you don't have any values or morals. And then you're not making any moral judgments on anything. You know, you're just doing whatever you want to do. You're just roaming and all. And then she's allowing you to do that. That's why you can be in an open relationship and all. And I don't believe in just shacking up. The reason why, even if I were not a Christian, I wouldn't believe in shacking up. The reason being is because it's like I can do whatever I want and you can do whatever you want. And we're not true to each other. So I just can't see shacking up. I just can't. I don't understand it. Right. You gotta commit yourself. If you're going to stay together, commit yourself. And I think you touched on a little bit about you don't really know a person until you stay with them and all. Because they're going to give you their best. They're going to give you their best when you're courting and when you're dating and all. But then after a while, they let their guard down a little bit, you know, once they get into the relationship in terms of being married and all, which is not good. Let it continue. Those listening people that are out there, let that love and that togetherness continue. Let it grow. Let it fester. Let it really, really grow, and then you become one. You become one where she loves you, and you can't wait to get with her that evening. She can't wait to get with you, and you guys just loving each other. You can be 60, 70 years old. It doesn't matter. That courtship, that love should still be there. It still should be there.
Mm-hmm. And And you know what? Love to me is cultivating that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly, you know, I've heard someone say, you know, make it be positive. But sometimes the deposit is not always going to be positive deposit. Sometimes there are going to be withdrawals because we're human. And so people are not, it's not going to always be something that you feel good about that the other person has done. But sometimes they have justification for what they're doing. But because you said it earlier on the show, we are such creatures of selfishness. We are so selfish in ourselves. And you know, and that's why I believe God wanted to just, he thought about destroying and repenting him to his heart that made man. Because we're such, you know, I'm sure he wonders sometimes himself, where did this behavior come from with these people? You know, why do they act like this? You know, what is going on?
Man is so corrupt.
Yeah.
He's so corrupt.
I mean,
Yeah,
God looks at it and he's like, it repenting into his heart for God to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's got to be serious. Because nature of man, we're so selfish. We're the, we're the selfish being because we want what we want and when we want. And when we can't have our way, then we go into that mood swing thing that I talked about at the top of the hour.
Uh-huh.
And who wants to deal with that? You know, that's your, you know, I heard one police officer say that comes to my job from time to time to visit, and he has me laughing sometimes, and we're about to close the show. I just want to say this here. And he says, he was mad once, but he'll never do it again. And he says, but now, you know, this guy is in his 50s. But all he wants to do is date girls in there from 18 to 25. He don't want to go past that. And the reason being, you know, he says these older women, he feels they got too much baggage going on. You know, they don't have no excitement in them. And, I mean, that's his opinion now. But what he has me laughing about is the stories that he shared about these older women that he brings. And I'm sure the women have these stories about the men, too. But he was just saying how they're always bringing you their baggage. And he says he just gets rid of them because there's no way. He's like, I didn't call. And he has a very profound mouth. And, you know, so he goes on to say his explicits. And he says, I didn't cause their stuff. I didn't cause those problems. Why are they bringing me all of that stuff? And he says, I don't want to deal with them. He said, when you get with them young girls, sure, their minds haven't developed good, but he's in it for the sexual encounters. But and then he said you can feed them at different places, and they're okay with that. They know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, excuse me, and he says all he has to do is see them from time to time. But he said, why would I, if I got about several of these girls, young girls, why would I want to be with, he calls it an old hag. But, and I mean, I'm not criticizing the women. I'm just saying he has me laughing because I apply that to not women necessarily, but I apply that to anything. People bring negativity into your life. And and I think this is what happens to me in the past, that you allow that to be caught up into your own spirit, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, and you're trying to rescue that person. Let me tell you something what I've learned about rescuing. You can't rescue nobody like that sometimes. If you're not throwing them out, you know, if somebody's in drowning, you got to throw them something out there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they get close to you, they're going to cause you to drown with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you ask lifeguards, they'll tell you that. You got to throw something out there to them because they're in such a panic state for their lives that they're gonna almost drown you unaware. So you got to throw something out there that extends to them. And it's the same way when you're trying to rescue somebody that wants to be rescued in a relationship or whatever, direct them to the professionals.
Well, I disagree with the fact that that older person felt like all the older people, they come with baggages and all because older, and hopefully that, you know, we've learned. I mean, we're more mature and we've learned a lot of things, but if he's only thinking that women 18 to 25 are the ones that he can groom or that they're not having any baggage, I mean, everybody has a problem or had a problem in their lives. Everybody come with something. But even him, he need to take stock. Maybe it's him. Maybe he has some issues that need to he needs to resolve. Maybe he's stuck on himself. Maybe he's the type that don't know how to deal with folk at all. So you can't just say that it's all women that are older than 25. To me, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. Everybody older than 25, you know, they're not receptive to me as a male. First of all, have you ever thought about settling down? And you're talking about you got 7 or 8 women and all? I mean, what, we're going back to Solomon's days and all? I mean, to now, I guess now 7 women would equate to almost the 7,000 that he had in 300 concubines. But I just beg to differ on the fact that whoever that was said that they only want to deal with women 18 to 25 because all the other ones come with a lot of baggage because we all our stuff raggedy. All of us got something going on within our lives. It's by the grace of God and his mercy, we all would just be totally consumed. So that's how I look at it. I just don't see someone saying that only the 18 to 25-year-old women are equipped for him to date or to be with and all, unless he's trying to brainwash them and that's it. And maybe that's his take. But he needs to think about, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I got a lot of baggages and they don't want to deal with me. They don't want to be with me.
Oh, I agree with you, Jack, and I don't, and I agree with that too. I didn't agree with him when he was saying that. I took that and applied it to. There's a lot of people out here that, you know, they got this. They bring this the negative stuff to you, and want you to be involved in their negative stuff. And if you're not careful, that's for me now. I'm saying. And, you know, they bring in, you know, you got 5 people that are bringing their negative baggage to you, and then they consume you. But by the same token, sometimes when you go after those same people to maybe want to listen to your story, they're nowhere. They don't give you the time.
Absolutely. They don't want to hear it.
They don't give you the time. So that's what I took that to be. No, I agree with you. I don't agree with him thinking that only these young women are the exciting ones. You know, and matter of fact, those younger women can be the ones that break your heart when you're older, if they don't kill you in bed. Because when they eventually go to somebody in their own age group.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, they're not trying to hang with somebody who could be their daddy. You know, so I think that his
unless we're living in a fantasy world that we think that we are still that age. Father Time catches up on all of us, and we're not going to always think. I don't know what makes us think that we're always going to be 18 and 25, and the only time that's going to happen is when this earth is made new, and it's going to be a bunch of young people on the earth at that time. But I can't see that happening on this earth that we're living in now, that we'll discovering the fountain of youth all over again. So Father Time catches up with us. So let's realize that Father Time is catching us with us, and let's act like we're older and not younger. That goes for all of those of me. Like basketball, I can't do the things I used to do with basketball. Even though I can still shoot, I still can't move like these young people move. So Father Time catches up with all of us.
I agree with that, Jack. On that note, we're clearly out of time. And Jack, I want to thank you for spending this hour with me. I really appreciate that. We're going to ask you to keep following and telling your friends about us. And we're clearly out of time. We're over time now. So we want to apologize for all the listeners that have stayed with us. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. Of you choose to bypass this Friday, join us back here again live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until Friday, or until next Tuesday, I say to our listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Okay, thank you.